Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, indeed, the Weekend Report is on your radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Frank Ladd, and my partner Chris Arps continues to practice proper social distancing, so he joins us through the marvel of modern technology connected to the Arps compound somewhere in the metro area. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. We've got a great show. Can't wait to get started.
We have got a packed show today. You are not going to want to go anywhere. I'm going to work a little bit backwards here in promoting the show. In hour number two, coming up a little bit later on, we are going to have our friend Skip Weber on for another edition of the Weird News Challenge. The Weird News Challenge had a very controversial ending last week when Skip Weber stole the game on the QMD, the question of mass destruction at the very end from Chris Arps. We are also next hour, at the top of the next hour, so about 1 hour from now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to talk to the mayor of Florissant, Tim Lowry. Florissant, of course, is the biggest city in St. Louis County. And St. Louis County and city are starting their reopening process on Monday. Phase one of reopening is on Monday. So the mayor of Florissant has a lot of information and insight on how that is going to work. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. A little bit later on this hour, we're going to talk to our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller. And in the next segment from now, so just a few minutes, we are going to talk to the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich. And I am very much looking forward to this discussion. We're actually going to try to break a little early in this first segment so we can give the governor a little bit of extra time. There's an article in the Daily Caller written by Virginia Cruda that you can see on my Twitter right now, where the former governor compares what he went through to what Michael Flynn is going through right now, and what the comparisons and the similarities between his case and the Michael Flynn case. And it's very, very fascinating. So we'll get his thoughts on that, and also want to ask the former governor about what he thinks about the current governor of Illinois and how J.B. Pritzker has handled the pandemic situation, and of course what is happening in Madison County as they have voted to start a reopening process there. And the governor, Pritzker, has threatened Madison County with pulling business licenses and withholding stimulus funds to businesses in Madison County if they indeed go ahead with that reopening that they overwhelmingly voted to move forward with. So Don't go anywhere. A packed show. Rod Blagojevich coming up in the very next segment. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk to my partner, Chris Arps, about a couple things, including a couple of brand new articles that you have written at redstate.com. We talked a little bit about the Georgia shooting on last week's show. That is another story that continues to be in the headlines. And you wrote a, I think, very great article about the situation in Georgia and some of the reaction throughout the black conservative community about it. Can you shed a little light on what you wrote about in Red State, and then people can go and check it out?
I can, Tony, but before I start, can you say Blagojevich fast three times?
Blagojevich, Blagojevich, Blagojevich.
That's only two. But anyway,
I
read one of the articles that I wrote this week for Red State was regarding Candace Owens, the Blexit founder, African-American conservative activist. She made some very controversial tweets over the weekend regarding the Ahmaud Arbery case. Mm-hmm. Basically said that she didn't believe his account, or believe the account that was being said about it. She was saying that African-American conservatives were being like African-American liberals and jumping to conclusions and automatically saying this was a lynching. And so a lot of my fellow black conservatives were not happy about this. They didn't want to feel that Candace Owens spoke for them. So I wrote an article about the situation. I had a bunch of black conservatives that were in there quoting, saying that they didn't agree with it. The article got 500 comments, and that one article accounted for 6% of Red State's traffic for that day. So it was very controversial in a sense. But I just basically said that, you know, she doesn't represent the black conservative movement, and it was very important for us to get out in front and says that what her words, what she said, didn't represent us.
And basically, she was very critical about the black conservative community and the way that they've handled this. Now, she did say that he didn't deserve to die, but she kind of said that after she made her first point. But she just said, you know, like, he wasn't this innocent jogger. And my quick thought on it is, he was, you know, spotted illegally trespassing in this home right before this all went down. And maybe he wasn't. Maybe she's right that he was more than just an innocent man out for a jog. But that doesn't change anything about the way that the situation ended. What happened still was not self-defense. It was not a justified stopping of this man by these two guys in Georgia. And certainly it shouldn't have ended in a shooting. So even if she's right, it doesn't change anything about what ultimately happened.
Exactly. And she and others are taking the tack that on the video you can see Ahmaud Arbery grabbing the gun and kind of tussling with the shooter with it. And, you know, my point of view was, you know, he could either run and get shot in the back, or you either try to wrestle with your attacker and get the gun away from him and try to save your life. I don't think that necessarily makes him the aggressor. And that's part of this whole situation that really angers me the most, because what you're seeing clearly on tape, and I know it's a section of the tape, but I don't see anything in there that justifies him being shot and killed.
No, I completely agree. Even if he was trespassing or doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing a few minutes before,
it's not a capital offense.
Exactly. Them stopping him, that's something for the police. If they want to follow him and make sure that the police are able to identify him, they didn't even know that he had done that. My understanding is they didn't even know that he had been in that home just before then. They were monitoring him for other reasons. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but still, the bottom line is they were out of line. They shouldn't have been stopping him. It wasn't self-defense. And no matter what happened beforehand, it 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 doesn't justify what happened at the end. We've got to go because I want to leave some time for Governor Blagojevich, but hopefully we'll be able to revisit that story and some of the other big headlines of the week a little bit later on in the show. But let's go ahead and break early here and give a little extra time to the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, joins us on the Weekend Report when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm sitting down a tree, swinging in the breeze. I'm looking at the blue sky, smelling air so sweet. My pretty little angel, my pretty little queen, pretty little princess, my pretty.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Frank Ladd. Chris Arps still connected through the miracle of modern technology as he continues to practice proper social distancing. You still with us, Chris?
I am still here, Tony.
Awesome. And as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us now on the line, we are very excited to talk to former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich joins us on the Weekend Report. Governor, thanks for your time today. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me, Tony. And hello, Chris.
Yeah. Hey. You bet. So being here in St. Louis, obviously, we have a lot of listeners in the state of Illinois, and I want to get into one of the big stories that's happening across the river in Illinois in Madison County in a few minutes. But first, kind of one of the reasons that we're having you on today is our friend Virginia Cruda, who writes for the Daily Caller, recently did an article for you, about you in the Daily Caller that I highly suggest you go read. I will link that article on my Twitter account. But it was very enlightening in that your experience, which has been well documented, you draw a lot of comparisons to what you went through as to what General Flynn is going through right now. Can you kind of explain the similarities between your cases?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I sat in prison for 8 years, and I want to say again, as I've been saying over and over again for more than a decade, for things that aren't crimes, for political things that are routine and that that happen every day in politics. They criminalize non-existent crimes. What their motivation is, it is sometimes partisan politics. Sometimes it's these prosecutors they're out of control. They're unaccountable, and they go on to bigger and better things and become big partners in law firms. So I'm sitting in prison watching, you know, the Russian collusion delusion, which was all fake. I watched that the abuse of the impeachment process with a Ukrainian phone call by President Trump, which was, by the way, something the president of the United States has to do. He has a duty look into possible corruption, which might or might not be the case with Biden and his son in Ukraine. So that was an appropriate phone call, and they impeached him over that. And then I'm watching General Flynn, and I'm watching how they set him up, and they went out and tried to get him to say something that they can then turn around and say is a lie. It's a perjury trap. They did the same thing to me. And the mistake you make is when you, in good faith, talk to these people because you think they're actually, you know, the best and the brightest. They've gone to the best law schools. They're the guardians of the rule of law. You just assume they're the good guys. Mm-hmm. And I made that mistake. General Flynn made that mistake. And their motivations, at least some of them, is actually to actually get you. In the case of General Flynn, they want him so they can flip him on President Trump. In the case of me, they were just after me. And, you know, you tell the truth to these people and then they lie, and then they say that what you said is a lie, and then it's your word against theirs, and then they manipulate the court system and are able to be successful in getting a jury to believe it. Now, with General Flynn, what they did, and again, I saw it in my experience, they threatened his family. They threatened to bring charges against his son, and they were destroying him financially. This is what they do to you, too, because they have unlimited resources, the power of the federal government they bring to bear, and then you're an ordinary person, and you don't have that kind of money. I was the governor, but I didn't have that kind of money. I'm not Governor Pritzker in Illinois, who inherited billions of dollars. My father was a steel worker.
Can you give us an example, Governor, of the types of, like, you just illustrated what's been reported on about Michael Flynn, and I think it's pretty obvious that that is exactly how that went down. Can you give us examples of what you experienced?
Well, yeah, there's examples with Flynn. There's also examples with Roger Stone, and the examples between President Trump and me are endless. I truly believe they used the playbook that they successfully used against me and then applied it to President Trump. In other words, they were successful at taking out a Democratic governor at the AAA level. And then they were with that, they thought, hey, we can go after a bigger game. We'll go after the Republican president at the major league level. And I can give you all kinds of examples of the things I saw they did to Trump that they did to me. Now, he has more power, and he was able to hold on to his base. And the people out there who support President Trump stayed with him. And the president has a bully pulpit, and the ability to communicate with them. And our president, President Trump, has really revolutionized politics with the use of Twitter. But back when they did it to me, I didn't have that. So there's this documentary now called Trial by Media that Netflix had just put out this week that talks about how I was trying to fight back by getting out in the media because I saw how rigged the system was, and they were not going to allow me to prove my innocence with tape recordings they made. They didn't let them in. And so I did the best I could publicly, and they didn't convict me at the first trial. They tried me a second time. So President Trump has a larger bully pulpit. He also was able to hold on to his base because his supporters, God bless them, all across America, are understandably very supportive of him because he's been fighting to keep the promises he made to them. And unlike most people in politics, this is a president who actually keeps his promises and expends political capital to get those promises done, like the wall and some of the other issues. Roger Stone was arrested at his home, and they brought it's early in the morning, in the darkness of the early morning, and they brought with the FBI brought with them a SWAT team surrounding his house. Of course, they also brought CNN with them, which is really a question of that ought to be asked, how they could ethically bring a media outlet that's a partisan media outlet to arrest a citizen of our country. I was the sitting governor of the fifth biggest state in America, and one morning at 6 a.m., early morning hours at 6 a.m. in the darkness of a December morning, they came to my house, and they came with a SWAT team and a hostage negotiator. Like somehow I was going to, you know, fight back and, you know, not submit to the arrest. They came and arrested me. And it's a tactic that they use. They use it on Stone. They use it on me. They use it on President Trump's lawyer, Cohen, when they raided his office, which is another question because Cohen being the sleazy guy that he is and the weak guy that he is, still he has rights as an attorney. And to have the attorney's office raided by the FBI is a violation of attorney-client privilege. But in the case of me and Roger Stone, they came to our houses and arrested us. And they do this because it's a psychological form of psychological warfare that they use. They bring shock and awe. It's designed to terrorize you. It's designed to terrorize your family. My young daughters at that time, my little Annie was 5 years old. My daughter Amy was 12, and they're sleeping. And fortunately, they didn't see it happen, but they were going to get up in a few, you know, in a half an hour, so get ready for school. And they come and do this to scare you. And the purpose is to get you to say the things they want you to say and to basically plead guilty to things that you know and they know aren't crimes, or to use you, in the case of Roger Stone, to get him on some sort of process issue, a process crime, which is questionable. Because here again, it's like General Flynn, it's their word against his, but they want to use you to then go after the bigger game. In the case of Roger Stone and General Flynn, it's all designed to go after President Trump. In the case of me, I was the one they wanted to get. So the other people that they went and arrested the morning they arrested me, they were basically, they were there to turn and use to ultimately bring me down. So, wow. You know, I didn't give in. I fought back every step of the way, recognizing that I was up against these powerful forces and a system that was rigged, And even though they were unable to convict at the first trial on the corruption charges, something like 22 counts, because there were no crimes, they have the power to then try you again. And then they change the rules, and then they lie to the jury about what the law is, and they convict you on fake law. There was never a sale of a Senate seat in my case. That case was actually reversed by the appellate court. It was just routine log rolling. That's what they called that. Now, one of the common denominators that you might find in all of this, the General Flynn stuff, the stuff against President Trump, the stuff with Roger Stone, and stuff with me, the one common denominator among the – well, there's one common denominator. There are several others, but one that really jumps out is the Obama Justice Department. And these are a lot of the same people. Comey, Fitzgerald, Mueller, they were all active in my stuff, just like with President Trump. Mueller was the head of the FBI. He signed off on the arrest of a sitting governor. So I can go on and on about parallels, and I recognize what they're doing to General Flynn and what they've done to President Trump because I lived it myself. And to quote one of the great St. Louis natives of all time, Yogi Berra from the Hill neighborhood, yeah. What did he say? It's deja vu all over.
Right? We're talking to former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Go ahead, Chris.
Governor, this is Chris Sarps. We're going to switch gears a second to politics. You know, thankfully, the pandemic is the curve has flattened on that, and we're starting to reopen society. As a former governor, you have a very unique perspective on that. Can you tell us, as a governor, did President Trump, has he done everything that he could as governor? And if you don't mind, critique the performance of your successor, Governor Pritzker. He's taken a lot of controversy on keeping the state locked down for an extended period of time.
Yes, in fact, I have a podcast on that subject. That I have this new podcast that's coming out next week called Lightning Rod. That's what they named it.
And, good name.
I like it.
Yeah, I didn't come up with that. They did. And that other name, they call me Blago. I never came up with that either. But in terms of President Trump and Governor Pritzker, and frankly, governors across the country, I know a lot about this subject because, well, I was a governor, and I was the governor for 6 years. And way back in 2005, second to the last year of my first term, we had information that suggested that there was going to be this pandemic that was coming to Illinois. It was called the bird flu. And because we had reasonable belief that this was going to happen, we started working to prepare for this very terrible thing that might come. And so as the governor, our Department of Public Health and the Emergency Management Agency got together, and we put together a pandemic plan to address a flu along the lines of what we now are dealing with today. And we bought the necessary equipment that we had to have so that we can be ready, God forbid, this flu came. And we fully expected that it was coming. Now, fortunately, it wasn't nearly as bad as what all the experts said it was going to be. And so we didn't have then what has happened now. So when Pritzker, our governor, and other governors get on their high horses, and our governor Pritzker seems to be the one who does it the most. He's the biggest figure who does this of all the governors. He gets on CNN and on MSNBC, and he shows on Sunday to bash President Trump and pointing fingers. The fact is the governors were asleep at the switch. They should have been more prepared. And so many of the things that they've had to address in the states, particularly in Illinois, are things he could have addressed, but they allowed what we prepared back in 2005 to lapse. So my successor, the lame Pat Quinn, and this other guy, Rauner, who I don't know, I was gone when he was governor, and then, of course, Pritzker, they just allowed all this stuff to lapse, and it's convenient. This is what politicians do, and it's politicians in all shapes and sizes, including our Governor Pritzker. They go on national television when they can to get their faces on TV, and they like to point fingers at the leader of the other party rather than working constructively to actually address what is a global pandemic and a crisis that's very much like war.
So
I would critique our governor for being wrong on many counts, and among them is he should be working cooperatively with President Trump, not pointing fingers. And I do think the president, all things considered, has done a great job in addressing this situation. And when he shut down travel from China, he was roundly criticized for being a racist when the whole thing came from China. Imagine had he not done that, how much worse things would have been.
Yeah,
and then when he shut down travel, what?
They would have, like, to your point, No matter what he would have done in that situation, he would have been criticized for it. I wanted to follow up on this point about what's happening in Illinois. The situation in Madison County this week where they voted overwhelmingly to say we want the ability to make our own decisions and open up on our own timeline and not have to follow the governor, which is how it's been here in the state of Missouri, which has been admittedly also controversial in that our governor in Missouri has allowed the local governments to take control, which is the way I prefer it, but not all do. But in Madison County, they voted overwhelmingly to want to open back up, and Pritzker has lashed out against them, threatening to pull business license, saying that if you're licensed by the state, you know, your license could be in jeopardy if you go along with this in Madison County. He's, you know, threatening other things like withholding stimulus money from Madison County. How do you think that? I would just like your comment from being in that position of governing the state of Illinois, that approach to trying to get a county in the state to basically fall in line instead of wanting to govern themselves.
You're asking great questions, and I'm the right guy to answer these questions.
I know. That's why I'm taking advantage of our discussion.
Right. Not only was I a governor right across the river from where you guys are, but I'm an expert on the deprivation of civil liberties. I know through hard experience. Okay, when the heavy hand of government reaches in and wants to screw you and take away your freedoms, how they can do it? And unless we as citizens band together and are vigilant, properly vigilant to fight back against that, and we have to recognize the slippery slope, and it doesn't start with that knock in the early morning like it happened with me, okay? That was a culmination of what they were doing, chasing me for 5 years before they ultimately did what they did. They didn't find anything, so they created stuff. So back to the question of Madison County and the heavy hand of Governor Pritzker. This is a very dangerous thing he's doing, because now I understand that this is a public health crisis. You have to balance the safety of the public first and foremost, above all things, with the need to get our economy in good health as well. I recognize public health is more important in the sense of preventing a virus that's killing people. That takes priority. However, we have enough evidence now. We've been at this now for nearly 3 months. We have enough evidence to see that there are places that are not nearly as affected as other places. And frankly, it's common sense. A lot more cases up here in Chicago than there are in southwestern Illinois. And so as other states have been opening up, we're getting more information and more evidence that things are getting back to normal and that things are okay. The virus, the testing and all the rest, there's ways to monitor whether or not it's going to be reignited. So when a local community like Madison County has a vote like that, and you got the governor actually threatening to bring the power of state government to punish that local community, you're going down a very dangerous, slippery slope, the beginning of the process of you know, frankly, Soviet Union-style forms of government. Instead of the people at the local level organically deciding what's best for their communities, now suddenly you got these elites in high places like the governor, dictating to them what they ought to do. And then if they don't do it his way, he's going to punish them. This is very dangerous, and it's among the reasons why, if I ever get my voting rights back, I'm going to vote against that guy.
We only have a couple minutes left, Governor Blagojevich, so I don't mean to rush you, but I know we wanted to get in a couple last questions. Go ahead, Chris.
Governor, as you know, when you become a high-profile figure, every rock is underturned regarding your life, and people, you know, discover things about you. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing that I didn't know until you went off to prison. I had no idea that you colored your hair. Can you talk about that a little bit? And what color did you use?
Usually we wait till a guy's on the second time to go.
I had no idea. I was like, oh, my God, his hair is white. I didn't know he dyed his hair. And as a bald guy, I love your beautiful big coif
of hair. From
I had that much hair.
This is coming from a guy, by the way, Governor, that hasn't had hair since he was 22 years old. So just so you know.
24, Tony, 24.
No, it's a fair question. Well, here, I'll answer it this way. First of all, was that you, Chris, that asked that question?
Yes, it was me. Chris.
Yeah. Well, first of all, get your facts right. My hair is not white. It's silk.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Silver. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal. I was sitting in prison one time. We're watching. There's a lot of stories about prison and the politics of prison, and those TVs are really precious things. And there's a, if you're asking me when is it most likely that a fight will break out in prison, it's over the fans in the summertime where there's no air conditioning. They fight over that, and they fight over the televisions. Wow. And who controls the televisions. Mm. And the televisions are political, and they're broken down by race, for example. There's the white TV, there's the African-American TV, there's the Latino TV, and then there's the universal sports TV, okay? And, of course, that one, you know, are we going to watch baseball or are we going to watch football? Are we going to watch basketball or are we going to watch baseball, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. And so those are natural conflicts. But everybody loves football, and football on Sundays is a big deal in prison. And for me, it was a way to get I wouldn't watch all the games, but it was – I'd watch the Bears when they're on. I'd watch the Dallas Cowboys. It's a team that I like. Hey. I'd watch them when they were on. And I'm sitting there one time and watching the game, and there was a commercial, and you have headphones on because that's how you have to watch TV. But in between the commercials, a lot of the guys will take the headphones off and they'll start talking. And one of these guys says to me, you know, Gov, they talk like that, you know, hey, dude, you know, I never realized. I always thought your hair was fake. I thought you wore a wig and I thought it was all fake, but it's real. And I said, hey, man, and nothing fake about me except the color of the hair. And he said, and what he said to me was that hair was black. And I said, that ain't black, man. It was sable brown number 47D. Stop lying.
Sable brown number 47D.
I love
number
it. 47D. That's an exclusive.
That is. That is. Well, Governor
Rod. You know what? I'm in good company. I want to defend myself. Can I just say this? I mean, yeah. Ronald Reagan, Mike Ditka, the great late 18th century British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli, you know, Richard Nixon, people in politics, it's a very common thing.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Not that uncommon.
Absolutely.
And, Governor, but you remember, though, yeah. Ronald Reagan's barber took a lie detector test to say that Ronald Reagan never dyed his hair.
Did he pass that test?
I remember that.
Did he pass that test?
Now that's
yes.
The kind of guy you want on your side because he'll never testify again.
No kidding.
That's an example.
No
right?
kidding. So, Governor Blagojevich, before we let you go, I was going to ask you what you were working on now, but you kind of broke that a minute ago. You have a new podcast coming out. Can you tell people how to follow that when it hits?
Yeah, it's going to be available on May the 20th. And all this is new to me, the technology, but apparently you download it, right? Is that what you do? It's a podcast. It's
That's
on
it.
iTunes.
Yep.
You can find it on iTunes and WLS up in Chicago, and you can download that. And it's, I'm going to discuss a variety of things. The issues of the day, of course, we'll have guests. We've got some very interesting guests. Eric Bowling, who's a commentator on Fox, used to be, but now he's on another network.
Yep.
He was one of our guests talking about his plan, which is very interesting, about helping the economy during this time of shelter in place. And I'm going to do something, I'll talk about politics and have guests, but also what I'd like to do is I'm going to have some podcasts that deal with adversity and talk about, you know, people who've been examples to me, who've gone through real hard times and been able to find the strength and the inspiration to carry on and to persevere and endure through the adversity and fight through it. I hope that maybe somebody will listen to some of those podcasts, and I'll have real-life examples of people from the history books I read when I was in prison, but ordinary, regular, everyday people who won't get history books written about them, but who with great courage and fortitude dealt with the cards they were given and fought through their adversity. And in so many cases, they were able to turn that adversity and turn it into something positive. Some men and women out there, as I like to say, can rise on stepping stones of their dead selves by planting the seeds for future success during those valley periods of our lives. So a lot of these stories I drew on that helped me get through the long 8 years of exile in prison for non-existent crimes. And I hope that I could share some of these insights through these podcasts that could help people through their hard times, whether they've lost their job, whether there's an illness in the family, whether they've lost a loved one, help them through their grief. And for me, what I learned was there's nothing more powerful than love, the love I have for my daughters and for my wife, and then my faith in God. Those things sustain me, and I'd like to share some of those stories with other people and perhaps maybe help somebody along the way.
We look forward to that, Governor. And you said the name of the podcast is Lightning Rod, and it'll be available on iTunes and many other places. We'll definitely keep our eyes open for that. Last question. We're way over, way out of time. So just a quick answer, if you can. Do you still consider yourself a Democrat, Governor?
I'm a Trumpocrat. Okay. I'm a Trumpocrat. And one of my podcasts will be on the subject of why I'm a Trumpocrat and why the Democratic Party has left working people.
All right. We'll look forward to that and look forward to hopefully having you back again soon, sir. Thanks for your time. It's been a great discussion.
Appreciate you guys. All the best to you guys.
Yeah, back at you. Thank you for joining us. All right, we have got to take a break. When we get back, I mentioned Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller wrote an article about Governor Blagojevich. You can see on my Twitter. We're going to talk to Virginia when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sitting here wondering about you and I. What bolts of lightning light up the sky?
Welcome back to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Frank Ladd. Chris Arps on the line. Big thank you to the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, for joining us in that last segment. If you missed anything, make sure you download our podcast on the radio.com app and go back and check that out. Got some great information and insight from the former governor. And as I mentioned when we were talking with him, part of the reason that we were able to get him is our friend Virginia Cruda, who joins us now from the Daily Caller. Virginia wrote a great article in the Daily Caller about the former governor that you can see on my Twitter. I posted a link on Twitter a little bit ago. I highly recommend you go and check that out and listen to the interview. And yeah, Virginia, I don't know if you had a chance to, you couldn't hear, I'm sure, the interview that we were just doing as we were getting ready to call you. But fascinating, and you write about this in your article, fascinating the comparisons between what Governor Blagojevich went through and what we are watching play out with General Flynn right now.
Yes, very. And one of the things, and I wrote, there's a separate article about this. I'm sure you are aware that former President Barack Obama has criticized the whole Flynn case, saying that there's no precedent for letting someone out who's committed perjury and letting them get off scot-free. It was a recorded phone call and went crazy because here's Barack Obama talking about how this endangers the justice system. And of course, Democrats are eating that up. The problem is that Flynn wasn't actually charged with perjury, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, there is precedent, and Barack Obama's own Attorney General, Eric Holder, used it. I don't know if you're aware of this. Senator Ted Stevens, back, this would have been, oh, this was a while ago, 2009. It was right after Obama took office. Senator Ted Stevens lost an election after there were some campaign donation, campaign finance kind of violations. But what happened was he went to court and he ended up, I think, pleading guilty, and the case was later thrown out. Eric Holder requested that it be thrown out, and he cited prosecutorial misconduct, which is exactly what's happening with Flynn here. Not only that, but he argued it in front of the same judge, Emmett Sullivan, who's handling the Flynn case. So this has happened before. It's happened before this judge, and now this judge has tapped a Clinton appointee to not only rebut the DOJ's case for prosecutorial misconduct, but see if they can charge Flynn for perjury because he lied to the judge when he said he was taking a plea and now he doesn't want, and he wants to withdraw the plea.
Go ahead, Chris.
It's a hot mess.
Mm-hmm. Jane, the Democrats are already trying to say Obamagate is just a deflection from the president's terrible handling, quote unquote, of the coronavirus. Give folks the elevator speech of why this is a real scandal.
Well, for one, I mean, they've talked a few times. You'll hear them say, well, people get unmasked all the time. That's true. They get unmasked by people within the intel community who need to know who's saying what. Okay. Usually we are talking about foreign actors. Unmasking Americans is a problem. That's number one. Problem number two is that it's usually the intel community who's doing it. Why is Joe Biden's name on that list? Mm. Why are people outside the intel?
The UN ambassador. That's what was crazy. Yeah. Why is the UN ambassador asking for Flynn to be unmasked?
Sure.
Well, now here's the thing though. Was that when she was still an ambassador, or was she national security advisor by then? Because if she was NSA, then it makes sense.
Okay, yeah, I thought she was.
I can't remember when that, because I know she moved from one position to the other, and I can't remember what the date was on that. But she may have been the national security advisor at the time she asked that question. In which case, I don't have a problem with Susan Rice being on there. I have a problem with her lying about doing it, because she lied under oath, I believe, that she did it. But as far as her, you know, in the position as a national security advisor, that makes sense for her to.
No, I meant the woman with the red hair, the last UN ambassador. She was asked for Flynn to be unmasked. Why is she asking?
Well, that's an interesting question. Yeah. No, I thought you were talking about right.
Hey, Virginia, we don't have a lot of time, so I wanted to also get your thoughts on this. Something we talked about with Governor Blagojevich. He was very critical about J.B. Pritzker in many areas, but I asked him specifically about the situation in Madison County. And, of course, you know, as we mentioned, you write for the Daily Caller, but you're also part of the Kruta family. Of course, Kruta Bakery has been in Illinois for over 100 years. And so one of these small businesses that has been greatly affected by the pandemic. And in Madison County, of course, they just voted overwhelmingly to say we want to control our own reopening, and we want to govern ourselves and not have to go by what the governor says. And there has been threats levied against Madison County by the governor, like pulling business license and things like that. Somebody who lives that every day, I'd just like to get your thoughts on the situation in Madison County.
Now, in addition, Pritzker has also threatened to send local and state police into Madison County to enforce the lockdown.
Yep, that's right.
So, you know, in case you were wondering whether the brown shirts were coming, they're being trained in Illinois. I'll give you that.
He said local law enforcement and Illinois state police can and will take action. He said that businesses and individual professionals that are licensed by state agencies will be held accountable. And when a reporter asked him if that was only making the problem worse by threatening business licenses, he basically said they're the ones breaking the rules, so they got to pay the price. That, to me, is not governing. That's not leadership.
No, it's not. And it's not like the state police have anything else to do.
Right, exactly. Great point.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you look at what Madison County did, they had a very, very solid plan. They went to small businesses. They asked, what is your one page, this is what I will do to safely reopen? And businesses had to turn that in. Mm-hmm. They were talking about reopening places like restaurants and gyms at 25% capacity with increased cleaning and
sanitization.
Sanitizing protocols. They were being very safe about it. They were being very smart about it. And they also said, look, just because the county is allowing you to open under these conditions doesn't mean that you have to. If you don't feel safe, or if you don't feel safe patronizing these businesses, you're free to shelter in place as long as you want to, as long as you can afford to. But please do not make me pay the price for your fear.
That is our friend. Yeah, that is our friend Virginia Caruta from the Daily Caller. Virginia, if people want to read your columns, follow you on social media, all that good stuff, how can they do so?
Okay, dailycaller.com is a great place to pick up my latest article along with everybody else's. We've got some great reporters doing good work, especially on the Flynn case. Check out Chuck Ross at Chuck Ross DC if you want to see some of that stuff. And you can follow me at VA Caruta. And that's pretty much it.
Very good. Virginia Caruta from the Daily Caller, thanks so much. We will talk to you again soon, my friend.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. We have got to take a break. That wraps up hour number one, but we have an entire second hour. We're going to start with talking to the mayor of Florissant. Of course, Florissant is the biggest city in St. Louis County, and the county and the city are starting their reopening process on Monday. So Mayor Tim Lowry is going to be able to give us some insight and info and details about what we can expect as the city and county start to reopen on Monday. So definitely keep it here for that. An entire second hour of the Weekend Report, including a brand new Weird News Challenge with Skip Weber. Coming up, don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
It is hour number two of the Weekend Report on your radio, and we appreciate you listening to it. Had a very busy first hour there talking to the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, also our friend Virginia Caruta from the Daily Caller. That discussion with the former governor went extremely long. I'm glad we left him that extra time because he used every bit of it. And if you missed any of that discussion with the former governor of Illinois, I would highly recommend you either take advantage of the Radio Rewind if you're listening on the radio.com app, or even better, download our podcast. We put it out every week, of course, in many places, including that radio.com app. That, I think, is the best place to get the podcast. It's the best place to keep up with everything here at the radio station, because you download the radio.com app. It's free. Your favorite 97.1 FM talk, and then you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio with the Radio Rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station right there on the podcast. And listen, Chris, we got great answers from Governor Blagojevich.
about his time in prison. We heard some really interesting stories about his time in prison. He gave us some great insight about the way the FBI operates and talked about the similarities between what he went through and what General Flynn is going through. He talked about what's happening with Madison County and made some and was very critical of Governor J.B. Pritzker. So there was a lot of news and opinion that the governor gave us in that interview. But I think the takeaway will always be that you, my friend, got the most exclusive piece of information ever from Governor Blagojevich when he told you the exact color of hair dye that he used on his hair for all those years. That
brown sable, number 47, D as in dog.
There's going to be a run. There's going to be a run on it. You know, like the run on hamburger, the run on toilet paper. Now everybody's going to make a run on brown sable 47D so they have that Rod Blagojevich color.
Yeah, the three hardest things to get at Walgreens will be toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and brown sable 47D. Just forget about it.
Exactly right. So if you missed any of that first hour, go back and check it out on that podcast. Got a great second hour starting off for you right now. In just a minute, coming up in the next segment, we'll, of course, have our friend Skip Weber on for the Weird News Challenge. And we start this hour with the mayor of Florissant, my and Chris's hometown, the biggest city in St. Louis County, and there is a lot of news happening this week in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. So, once again, very happy to talk to our friend, the mayor of Florissant, Mayor Tim Lowry. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for your time, sir. How's it going?
Everything's going really well. You know, we're getting kind of excited that things are going to start opening up. And before Chris asks, I do not dye my hair. It's all natural.
Well, if you do, Mr. Mayor, if you ever decide that you're going to start dyeing your hair, brown sable 47D is apparently a really good one to go with. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think I might go get some.
There you go. So it's been one of the biggest news stories of the week, something we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. But I'm glad you were able to take some time to talk to us today to kind of explain the details of this. Of course, the state of Missouri, Governor Parson, started the state's reopening phase at the beginning of the month. But St. Louis City and St. Louis County have held off until now May 18th, which is just in a couple days on Monday. And that is when the city and the county are going to begin their reopening phase. Can you just sort of explain to our listeners what that is going to look like? Is it just like back to normal the way it was before coronavirus, or is this a phased in process where it's going to kind of be a gradual thing? What's it going to look like on Monday, sir?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a phased in process. I mean, I think it's going to be a very slow process. You know, Sam Page made the decision that he felt like, you know, the fact is that St. Louis County, St. Louis City had the most cases in the state, and he felt like holding off was the best thing to do. You know, of course, the negative, of course, is that while we're holding off, I mean, it is having a lot of serious damage to our economy. So I'm glad to see that we're at least going to start opening up on Monday. But keep in mind, it's going to be a very slow opening. I mean, you're going to see that the restaurants are going to start opening, at least 25% capacity there. Social distancing of 6 feet is going to be still recognized. So you're going to walk in, and it's going to be, you know, about 25% of the restaurants are going to be full. You're going to see tables spread out. If anybody's been over to St. Charles, I think you get a little bit of an idea of how it's going to look. It's going to be very similar here. I think that people are happy that nail salons, the beauty parlors are going to start opening. I think you're going to see that you're going to make appointments. You're going to wait in your car until you're called. Same way with, I'm sure, a lot of the restaurants. I mean, if there's going to be a waiting list, you're probably going to be waiting in your car until your number's called, and then you'll get your table. But I think it's wise to go slow. At this point, hopefully we do not see an increase in cases, because the one thing we really don't want to see is a closing of our economy and a closing of everything again. So I think going slow is probably the best way to do it. Personally, I wish we would have started a couple weeks ago, but that's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, things like the gyms and that are not going to be open. And so that's going to be probably the next phase. And as far as the city of Florissant is concerned, I mean, We're gonna do a slow opening also. I mean, I've got a lot of employees that are only working 24-hour work weeks right now. So I got to be able to start bringing my employees back to work at some point. But right now, our two rec centers are going to be closed. We're not going to open up our swimming pool, as I mentioned before, at Banger Park this year. City Hall is going to kind of, it's going to be a slow opening there where, you know, we're going to have, if you need a permit or something, you're going to come to our back door. And that process is going to remain in effect right now until we can open up fully. I was down at the golf course yesterday. I want to start seeing us open up our pro shop and our restaurant there, our snack bar. So things like that, we're going to start opening up. But I think everybody just has to be patient and just understand that it's just be happy that we're starting to open up because, like I said, we don't want to see more cases and we certainly don't want to close it again. So just be patient and it's going to be a slow process, but I think it's for the best at this point.
Mr. Mayor, what's your opinion on stores that require shoppers to have a mask on in order to enter the store? We've seen a couple of instances around the country where shoppers have gotten violent with store clerks, you know, when they told them that they had to have a mask on. I think we had here in St. Louis where a security guard was murdered because he asked a patron to wear a mask. What's your opinion?
That's
on
a little bit of a extreme measure there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, there's been some extremes. I think there was a park ranger got thrown in the lake over that. You know, so as myself and the chief have talked about, I mean, we're not going to put our police officers in that position. We feel it's a personal decision whether or not you want to wear that mask. And I know that there's going to be stores that are going to require it or they're going to turn you away, which, by the way, they have every right to do that. But certainly we've not instructed any of our personnel to get in a confrontation with someone over not wearing a mask or whether they want to wear a mask. So it's just such a touchy subject right now with people. So we are not going to we may ask you to do it, but we're not going to get in a confrontation with you about it. And it's a personal decision, and it's certainly a personal decision of any of these stores or restaurants that want you to do that. And certainly you got to abide by their rules or you're not going to be allowed into the premise. But it's up to them to enforce that.
Talking to the mayor of Florissant, the biggest city in St. Louis County, Tim Lowry, about the reopening process that the county is going to start on Monday, as well as the city starting on Monday. Mr. Mayor, you just mentioned gyms and the rec center are some of the businesses, the types of businesses that are not going to be a part of phase one. Are there any other businesses, types of businesses that are not opening up on Monday and have to wait for probably the next phase? And if you could tell us what those types of businesses are, and also when is the next phase, do you think, going to happen?
So the next phase, you know, keep in mind that this is not my order. This is Sam Page's order.
Sure.
And
sure.
So he will make that decision when the next phase will be. I've not seen anything. I would anticipate a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And right now, I really do think the gyms are one of the biggest things that aren't opening.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is an interesting thing occurring today, keeping in mind, is that one of the gyms in, I think, Maryland Heights and Chesterfield has challenged that ruling. And I believe that that's in court today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the court ruling goes in favor of the gym, then I think you're going to see all the gyms open. And, you know, right before this all closed, I went to my personal gym and I was working out, and they did keep social distancing, and they had signs on different machines that you couldn't work next to somebody. So I think there is a way to social distance in there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that it is important for people to be healthy, especially during this. And so I know a lot of people really do want to get back in their gym and start working out. And that is one thing that we learned from the beginning of this whole thing, is that people that are healthy shouldn't have negative effects of this virus. So I personally think it's important to get people back working out. I mean, I can tell you, as you guys probably see in your neighborhoods, people are out walking all the time. People want to get out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so I hope that we start seeing those facilities open soon.
You know, I wanted to just follow up with you on that point about the gyms that you made. And I know that these are not your personal decisions, but I know that you are in constant contact with Mr. Page,
and probably have at least a little bit of insight on his decision-making process. And one of the big, you know, no matter what side of the argument you fall on, one of the big arguments that Jim in Maryland Heights and Chesterfield is making is that the vape shop across the street is open, but the gym isn't open. And on Monday, as you mentioned, barber shops and beauty shops and salons are going to be open, but not a gym. It just seems kind of weird and random. Do you have any insight on Sam Page's decision making process on why certain businesses are being allowed to open back up on Monday and why others aren't?
And he certainly, you know, being a doctor, I mean, he certainly looks at the medical. And keep in mind, I can't speak 100% for him.
Sure.
But we have had a lot of conversations, and I know that when most of our conversations that we have, we talk a lot about the health reasons for not doing certain things. And I really do believe it's just that his, during conversations, is that he just believes that people will be too close. It'll be hard to social distance people inside of a gym. People be sweating a lot, and he's just afraid of the transmission through the sweat, the closeness that you're going to be. And honestly, a lot of this, in my opinion, falls on us individually. I think we've all heard what we need to do and why it's important for us to social distance, to keep ourselves 6 feet apart. And, I mean, we just have to remember that. And I think it's us as adults that we have to really understand that it is important. And I think his belief just is that people won't be able to do it in a facility like that. I mean, and like you said, you can debate it both ways. And mm-hmm. and I understand his position. I've understood his positions all the time. May not have agreed with his positions, but I certainly understand his position.
Got a couple minutes left with the mayor of Florissant, Tim Lowry. Go ahead, Chris.
Mr. Mayor, I can remember about 46 years ago when we were driving to Florissant to watch our new house being built. And the weekend that we went was the Valley of Flowers Parade. Mm. And we got caught into that, and we had no idea anything like that was going on. And 46 years later, you know, Valley of Flowers, the parade, the amusement park thing that they have during the weekend is something that Florissant residents look forward to. I know we're flattening the curve and things seem to be getting a little better. Is Valley of Flowers definitely put off this year? Postponed to August.
So it's postponed, and we're looking at some dates in August because, as you just mentioned, I mean that's the centerpiece of our city here is that event that weekend, and so we definitely know the importance of having that event. So we are certainly looking at other dates to move that to. Obviously, some things would change. We're still going to have the parade. We'll still have the things at the Knights, and maybe not as much stuff at the Egan Center. But we are definitely still want to do that, have that weekend, because that is important to really the city of Florissant and our heritage here. And so people look forward to that event every year. So I promise you, we're looking at alternate dates right now. And of course, Mrs. Lowry, she's in charge of the committee.
Yes, she is. Yeah, and she does a great job. I've been a part of the inner workings of that whole process a couple times, and your wife does an amazing job. She should get lots of credit for that. Talking to Tim Lowry, the mayor of Florissant, we only have about a minute left here, Mr. Mayor. Before I let you go, another question on a lot of people's minds is, of course, schools. I have a junior in high school whose mantra through this whole thing has been, well, you know, as much as this has affected her and, you know, she thinks it stinks, her whole mantra has been, at least this didn't happen in my senior year, and I'm not going to miss my senior prom and my graduation and my senior year on the orchestra and all that. But now there's stories that are popping up across the country about the idea of maybe not going back to school even next school year, this coming fall. Have you guys had a discussion that far out? Have you guys had that discussion about whether or not schools will be able to start in the fall?
So I've not been personally involved in any of those conversations. I've heard about it on the news, read it in the paper, and I just think we're going way too far in advance of looking at those dates. I just would hate to believe that we're going to miss another school year. And boy, I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for those seniors. I missed all those events that were so important to their school life. But I think we're just way too looking too far ahead at this point. I think we need to see what happens, especially as we're leveling that curve. But, yeah, I think we're thinking way too far ahead, in my opinion.
Mr. Mayor, is there a place that people can go, the residents of Florissant or the residents of St. Louis County, is there a place that they can go and see the details of Phase 1 reopening that starts on Monday so they have a complete understanding of what businesses are open and what's not open and, you know, what's allowed and what's not, that sort of stuff?
Sure. Go to www.stlcorona.com, and you should be able to get all of the details on everything that's opening and guidelines and everything if you go to that website.
Mayor Tim Lowry from Florissant, always great information, great conversation, sir. Thanks for your time, and stay healthy and safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, got to take another quick break. When we get back, we'll get Skip Weber on the line, and we will play a brand new edition of the Weird News Challenge. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you lose me, you lose everything. She said if you love me, you lose everything. She said no one could replace me.
Welcome back to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Big show today, packed show, and it continues. Now we've talked to the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, Virginia Cruda from The Daily Caller, just wrapped up a discussion with the mayor of Florissant, Tim Lowry, and the hits keep on coming as our next guest. There is literally no one bigger then Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet. Skip, my friend, great to talk to you. How's it going?
Going well, man. Going well. Show.
Yeah, it's been a packed show. Anybody who missed our discussion with the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, in the first hour, we actually cut the very first segment of the show. We cut early. To give him a little bit of extra time, and thank goodness we did, because what was supposed to be about a 12 to 13 minute interview went over 20 minutes with the former governor, and we got some great insight and information from him. He had a lot to say about Michael Flynn's situation, his time, his own experience in prison, and of course the biggest news that we broke. Chris Arps asked him about what hair dye he used when he was governor, and Mr. Blagojevich answered the question.
He didn't hang up on us, which is what I was shocked. I was like, waiting for a dial tone.
He did not. First time ever on the show, and Chris is asking him about coloring his hair, and he played right along. And in fact, as I mentioned earlier, of all the great information that Governor Blagojevich gave us, the insight about the FBI and the way that his case was similar to what Michael Flynn is going through, and the things he said about J.B. Pritzker and what's happening in Illinois right now, and some of the stories he told about it being in prison, the number one thing that we learned was what, Chris?
The former governor uses brown sable number 47D. D as in dog.
Brown sable 47D was the color that he used to color his hair. I love it.
Wow. It's,
yeah, funny, funny stuff. So if you missed any of this show, in the last segment, I got to say big thank you to the mayor of Florissant, Tim Lowry, for his time explaining
the reopening process that starts on Monday in St. Louis County and City. So great information about how this phased reopening for the county and city is going to go down. If you missed any of that, download our podcast. Radio.com app is probably the best place to do so. You can get our podcast in many places, but the Radio.com app is free. You favorite the radio station, then you got everything. You can stream the station, you can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. So now we need to get into the Weird News Challenge. Speaking of controversy and making waves, I don't know if you guys know this, but for several hours after last week's show, hashtag QMDSteel was trending number one worldwide after Skip Weber. After Skip Weber stole the Weird News Challenge from Chris Arps, who had been dominating throughout the entire game, Skip Weber answered the QMD and stole the game at the end. And boy,
stole that. Wait a minute. Two things.
It's not a steal.
I got two things. First thing.
Yes.
He won by one question. He didn't dominate the whole game. Okay. It was a one run game, and you know, and he scored some. He scored three runs in the top of the 12th to take the lead, and the QMD was a grand slam in the bottom. That's all that was.
I think Skip getting that QMD was a fourth strike. Because he took 3 minutes to answer it.
Oh yeah, Chris is not.
That's under protest.
Yeah, Chris.
I talked it through. Look, it's obvious the answer is not going to be the smallest state. So I talked right? to you. Should I say Hawaii? No, I don't think it'll be Hawaii. So I went with the second smallest state. That's all it was. Talking it through. It did not take 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
40 seconds at the most.
I'm a sore loser.
Yeah, I'm not sure we want Frank to go and check the actual time on that because Chris might be closer than you.
Yeah, I think 40 minutes is a little,
Hashtag QMD Steel, though. Trended worldwide at number one for several hours. Isn't that amazing?
As the accused, I will request the review of the tape.
Well, Chris has asked that there be – you didn't do anything wrong. No rules were broken in last week's game. It was a completely legal victory.
He's trying to throw an asterisk.
He is.
Chris is trying to throw an asterisk.
So here's what we're going to do.
I'm going to put a
30-second time limit on the QMD answer. When you buzz
in, it should be a 15-second.
You have 30 seconds to answer the question. So that'll be the new rule.
Chris, the QMD has got to be 30 seconds.
It's 30 seconds.
It's also complicated. You got to talk it out like that. Otherwise, you don't want to buzz in early.
It also builds up drama.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is nice.
Yeah, he was building drama.
He was building drama and keeping listeners tuned in.
He's got those radio instincts. He knows what he's doing. So this is going to be episode 79 of the Weird News Challenge. It is a traditional game where we ask questions about recent news stories that are a little bit off the beaten path, and we have five questions today. And we're going to get back to, it's been a while since we've had a game where there was a big ol' honking multiple point question at the end of the regular game. So today, question number five has 10 possible points.
Oh, my goodness.
So this game is never over. We have a tiebreaker if we need it. And, of course, at the very end, the QMD, the question of mass destruction, which has been the source of such controversy here over the week. The question
worldwide.
Of mass destruction is an automatic victory. If you could get the QMD at the very end of the game, no matter what the score is, no matter who has won the game at that point, you can steal a victory by answering the question of mass destruction, which is exactly what Skip Weber did to Chris Arps last week. Katie Fitzpatrick rule is not in effect, which means you can buzz in anytime. If you get the answer right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you don't lose anything because we encourage participation here on the Weird News Challenge. And again, question number five is going to have 10 possible points. So if you buzz in and you get a few and then you get one wrong, another person can buzz in and get more points. And then at the end of that, if there's still any left, the third person can still collect points if there are any left. So it's going to be a very exciting Weird News Challenge. Episode 79, Skip Weber, Chris Arps, and producer Frank Ladd are playing. Before we start, test the buzzers. Chris Arps. Skip Weber. Frank.
Frank.
There it is. All right, here we go. Weekend Report Weird News Challenge, episode 79, question number one. There's a new type of swimwear being marketed going into this summer called a trikini.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, sir. Skip Weber.
The trikini covers your lower part, your breasts, and your face.
That
COVID
is correct. The question was going to be, what does a trikini look like? It is a bikini with a matching mask. So, yes, it is a three-piece bikini with the third piece being the mask. That is correct. Skip Weber is out to a 1-point lead.
He's been studying this week.
Yeah. Question number two.
Hey, listen, Chris.
Yes. Go ahead, Skip.
Lingerie questions I can handle.
Got it.
News questions I can't.
I'm just browsing.
Question number two. Like trikini, there are a lot of new words and terms we've been introduced to during the pandemic. Another new word that is now being used by dermatologists is maskne. What is maskne? Chris Arps.
Acne from wearing a facial mask.
That is exactly right. It is acne caused by wearing a mask.
That was an easy one. Thank you, Tony.
No problem. Sometimes they're easy, sometimes they're not. That's what it's all about. It is 1-1. Chris has a point. Skip has a point. Frank is just laying in wait, ready to pounce. Question number three. Heinz Ketchup just created a new 570-piece puzzle to help people stay busy through the pandemic. What does the completed puzzle look like? Chris Arps.
The Heinz label.
That is incorrect.
Ding, 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 ding.
Skip Weber.
I'm going to say a tomato.
That is incorrect as well. I'll read the question for you one more time, Frank, so you can take a shot at it if you like. Heinz Ketchup just created a new 570-piece puzzle. Get it? 57, Heinz 57, 570 pieces.
Sure. Yeah.
To help people stay busy right now, what does the completed puzzle look like?
Is it a family portrait of the Heinz family?
It is simply a red square. Every piece is the exact
of a tomato.
Same color. The close-up of a
tomato. Wow.
It's just a red square. There's
nothing. So that makes it really stupid.
There's nothing else. It's just a red square.
Boy, the marketing department's really on it, ain't
right?
they?
Yeah. Question number four.
They should have more videos.
Oh, I forgot. Question number four is a 2-point question. Ooh. So this is a 2-point question followed by a 10-point question to end the game. 2 points on the line here. Question number four. A bizarre Twitter feud broke out this week.
Frank.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Frank's already in.
Axl Rose.
Incorrect. Skip, you still buzzing in here? Are you one?
No, he buzzed in.
No,
he buzzed
in. No, that's not how it works. You got it, and now a bizarre Twitter feud broke out this week between a billionaire car manufacturer and a Jeopardy champion. Yes, Skip Weber.
Elon Musk and Ken Jennings.
That is correct. Both points are correct.
I went with the more obvious one.
Yes, Elon Musk and Ken Jennings got into a little feud on Twitter. It's pretty ridiculous. Look it up if you'd like. But that gives 2 points to Skip Weber as we go into question number five.
How many points do I have, Tony?
You have 1 point. Frank has no points. Skip Weber has 3 points. And question number five has 10 points on the line. However, this is not a very gettable 10 points. This is a very difficult question. So I'll be shocked if you guys are able to clean this up. Like I said, it's been a while since we had a big multiple point question, so here we go. This question, FYI, a little hint here, this question deals with music albums. The oldest album on the list, just again for a hint, the oldest album on the list was released in 1967. The newest album on the list was released in the year 2000. So the newest album is still 20 years old. Just keep that in mind as you think about it.
Can we just anoint Skip as the winner now and just get it over
with? There's still the QMD. Here we go. So just keep that in mind. 1967 to 2000. That's the time frame you're working with here. The music website Loudwire just released its list of the top, quote, legendary rock albums with no weak songs. For 1 point, list every album in the top 10.
Ding, 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 ding.
Go ahead, Skip Weber.
I'm going to try. The thing that I would say would be most effective, most likely would be Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
That is number 8 on the list and a point for you, sir.
Okay, let's go with Abbey Road.
No, Abbey Road is not on the list. So Skip has 4 points. Chris has 1 point. Frank has no points. There's a lot of points here if you guys want to take a shot at it. Go ahead, Chris Arps.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
Mm-mm. That is
what?
Not... No, I am sorry.
That was you're kidding.
I'm sorry. There is...
They must be saying that those albums each have a weak song or two on.
They must.
Point.
Yep, yeah. That's exactly that right. Frank, you want to try?
Van Halen 1.
No.
I was going to say that, Frank.
No, that is also... Oh. I told you it was tough.
Tony, can I make a couple of guesses? That
sure.
Don't
yeah, and I'll read off the list count, here. Yeah. I'll read off the list here in a second.
Four.
Nope.
Thriller?
Nope. Rock albums.
You got to have some Led Zeppelin on there somewhere.
Yeah. Appetite for Destruction?
Appetite for Destruction is on the list. Yes. Was number 9.
Who's Next?
No. The Beatles album that is on here was Magical Mystery Tour.
That's not even close to the best.
So here was the top 10. Number 1, AC/DC, Highway to Hell. Number 2, Alice in Chains, Dirt. Number 2, I don't know about that. Well, number 3, The Beatles, Magical Mystery Tour. Number 4, David Bowie, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust. Number 5, Deep Purple, In Rock. Number 6, Deftones, White Pony. Number 7, The Doors. Number 8, Fleetwood Mac is Skip mentioned. Number 9, Guns N' Roses is Skip mentioned. And number 10, the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Ooh. Are you experienced? All right, here we go. We don't need the tiebreaker, so just very quickly, just for the fun of it, according to a new survey, what percentage of single people, say they are ready to stop doing virtual dates and start going on regular old in-person dates again? Skip, what do you think? What percentage of single people are ready to get back to regular dating?
86.
Okay. Frank?
65.
Okay. Chris?
90.
80%. Skip would have won. Here's the QMD. Okay. The only chance that Frank and Chris have to beat Skip Weber today. And Skip Weber is actually written in the question here. It says, here's the QMD. Question of Master Direction for an automatic win. Skip Weber is easily in this group, but how small of a group is it? What percentage of men in the United States are over 6 feet tall?
Frank.
Yes.
23.
Not correct.
We got to get an exact percentage, right?
You got to get the exact percentage. The QMD is not an easy thing. Chris,
I'll
you go
gonna, ahead. And
okay,
go ahead.
I'm going to
take a shot at it. Mm-hmm. I will say 47%.
That is incorrect. Chris, one chance here to beat him. Steal the game on the
you
QMD.
You have a 1 in 98% chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
38%.
15% of men in the United States are over 6 feet tall. Skip Weber has once again won the Weird News Challenge. It is his 29th victory. Skip, we've gone extremely long, so real quick, what's happening at Weber Chevrolet and what's happening with the Saturday Evening Rock Show?
Well, I don't want to stretch it out too much, so I'll just say this. We're open. We are social distancing. We are encouraging appointments, but not requiring them because they're not required anymore. So you don't have to worry too much about it. But we are still encouraging appointments, so it helps with our social distancing. Everything's clean. We're having a lot of success. People are giving us thumbs up on our reviews for how good our COVID response is and how good our COVID compliance is. And the good thing about it from Detroit is everything is included in the incentives now. We have really good pricing on everything, and we've taken it to the next level at our stores and added things to Detroit's, plus included pre-owned in it. It's really, really a good time to have some very good value in purchases, and you still can defer your first payment up to 3 or 4 months.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah.
It's very, very good for your budget to do that because you have no real penalty to do that.
Mm-hmm. And tonight, Saturday Evening Rock Show?
I'm really, really excited about it. 3 new artists. Still nice. A year in, we're still playing artists we've never played before. And all 3 of these are really popular artists. It's just that we just don't get to them. However, this is by far the hardest thing to ever guess.
Ooh.
No one will guess the theme.
It sounds like a challenge.
It's a fun, fun show. And I tell you what the theme is after the first two songs.
Right.
But it's a really fun show. One of the most fun I've had yet putting it together because the theme is so fun. It's just an abstract. It's a concept versus a category.
I love it. I love it. Definitely. Don't miss it. Yeah, don't miss it. It's the number one music show on a talk station in the world. It's every Saturday night, just a couple hours after this show ends, 9 to 11, the Saturday Evening Rock Show, starring Skip Weber. Of course, you can follow the Saturday Evening Rock Show on Facebook to be a part of that very cool growing community and for everything happening at Weber Chevrolet, weberchevrolet.com. Skip, congratulations, two in a row. We'll see you next week for another Weird News Challenge. Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Skip.
Appreciate it.
Bye. All right. We got to take a break, but we've got more Weekend Report coming up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. You were a player from the start. If you listen to me, you lose everything.
I'm sitting down at tree seeds, swinging in the breeze. I'm looking at the blue sky, smelling it so sweet.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Another exciting edition of the Weird News Challenge just wrapped up. Skip Weber appears to be on a little bit of a winning streak. One more segment to go here in what has been a packed show. If you missed anything today, make sure you download our podcast. You can get it in many, many places. But I think the best place to get it is the radio.com app, which is free to download. All you have to do is favorite 97.1 FM Talk when you get the app, and then you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio with the radio rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station, and you can go back and check out all of the great discussions we had today with the mayor of Florissant. Tim Lowry joined us to talk about the reopening process that is starting in St. Louis City and County on Monday. We also, of course, like I mentioned, just wrapped up another edition of the Weird News Challenge with Skip Weber. We talked to our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller last hour and had a very long fantastic discussion with the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, in the first hour. An interview that we thought would go maybe 12 or 13 minutes ended up going over 20 minutes. And you can hear it all on the podcast if you missed any of it. He gave us some great stories about his experience in prison, some insight on his the situation that is happening with Michael Flynn and the similarities that what Michael Flynn's story is with his own story, his own experience, and chimed in on a lot of what is happening in the former state that he the state that he formerly governed, Illinois. Very critical of the current governor, J.B. Pritzker, on some issues. So go and check that out. Chris, it's been a packed show. Haven't had a chance to get to a lot of the other headlines of the day, but there is one that I wanted to touch on here at the very end. And, Frank, I want to get your thoughts on this, too, being a big sports fan. We talk about the reopening process and how that is starting to happen across the country, and sports are now starting to talk about what they're going to do. And Major League Baseball revealed the plan that they are working on, an 80-game season starting around the 4th of July with three divisions that are all geographically positioned. You only play teams in your division. All the games have a designated hitter. They won't be played in front of a crowd, but they will be played in their home cities. As a big baseball fan, Frank, what do you think about that idea of starting things back up in that fashion?
Where does the umpire stand?
I don't know.
Is he leaning over the catcher? Is he 2 feet from the batter?
That's a good question. I looked at a lot. There's a lot of details laid out about, but I didn't see anything about the umpire that I remember, at least.
And what happens when the first bat boy for the Chicago White Sox tests positive?
Maybe there's no bat boys.
Well, right. But anybody, as part of any of these organizations, is that team out for 2 weeks, or do they get to bring in a whole new roster?
Right.
Does it
stop everything?
What exactly? So I think there are a lot of little details that they have to work out, because you've seen quite a few responses from current Major League Baseball players who've said
they're not ready.
I'm not ready.
Yeah,
or the league's not ready for this. Yeah. I'm not ready for this. I don't want to risk the health of my family.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what do you think? Is the appetite for sports in America so much that we should be trying to get that started back up, or is it too soon?
Tony, my wife ridiculed me and put a post on Facebook about me last week, where I was watching the 74 PGA Championship. We watched a Chiefs game from last year. I watched the Blues hockey game, and I think I watched an old World Series game, all in about half hour to 45 minutes. So I want sports. I think what I was experiencing last week is what a lot of Americans are experiencing. Look, let's get the games going, and we'll figure out all the details later.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes, because you know that these sports leagues are big businesses, and they're losing a bunch of money, and they want that money. But there's also a lot of safety aspects that need to be addressed as well.
What do you prioritize? I'm watching you wearing a nice rock T-shirt right now. Go watch some old concerts. Go for a walk in the park. There's a lot of things out there that we can do that don't potentially put somebody else in danger.
I'll tell you one thing that does not work is I watched professional wrestling without a crowd.
Oh, dude.
It seemed even more fake without a crowd.
Professional wrestling has sports. They have been continuing to go forward through this process, and they do. They are doing these. They're doing their live events in front of empty stadiums. It is not a fun thing to watch. I wonder if it'll affect regular sports that much when we see it. It'll be interesting to see. But we got to wrap up this show. Again, if you missed anything, download the podcast on the radio.com app. And for my partner, Chris Arps, our producer, Frank Ladd, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Weekend Report. We'll see you back here next week. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.